The Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro. FM 100.5 Smyrna. And online at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome to One Show, giving you the truth about personal finance. This is Financial Coaching Radio, and I'm your host, Jason Wall, Certified Financial Planner, one of the only independent, mission-free financial advisors in Rutherford County. For all about me, check out Jason Qualls, CFP.com. That's J-A-S-O-N-Q-U-A-L-L-S, CFP.com. Questions, comments, direct those via email the show or social media at Financial Coaching Radio. Radio.com. Lots to cover today. Let's get into it. Bitcoin and the buzz around it is back. I wonder if in the last few years or so, because in the beginning of this Bitcoin craze, or crypto craze really, a lot of people were figuring, what is it? How does it work? I wonder if the education or the knowledge behind it has improved for those other than those who are interested in owning it. But Bitcoin recently surged above 68,000, surpassing the previous high. It's actually 68,800, slightly surpassing the previous high set in November 21. So what is that? A couple of years, right? Three and a half years that we've had Bitcoin be as high. And that's for one Bitcoin, folks. If you're not aware what that means, it means if you want to own one full Bitcoin, it's over $68,000. But if you know anything about crypto, it's up, down, man, crazy town. Ridiculous trades all over the place. More volatile than probably any other asset out there that I have ever seen that would be tracked. Now, maybe commodities could be a little bit higher volatility than that, possibly, but I don't think so. So what's up? After the brutal crypto winter that began in 2022, Bitcoin could soon shatter its previous records as investors pour money into the newly created Bitcoin spot ETF. So that was the thing, right? We can all buy a... And Bitcoin ETFs have been around for a little bit, and they're new improved versions now. And any regular investor, be a stock investor, bond investor, gold investor, real estate investor, you're probably aware that basically every type of asset class has an exchange-traded fund, or I just call it a mutual fund, but certainly in this case, it's really an exchange-traded fund that will invest in those underlying assets, so you don't have to own the underlying asset directly. You don't have to buy gold. You can buy the gold ETF. You don't have to buy silver. You can buy the silver ETF. You don't have to buy commodities. You can buy a commodity ETF. And now, with these new improved versions of cryptocurrency ETFs, they say that's sparking some of this phase or craze with Bitcoin rebounding back. They think the demand is going to go up, and obviously it has. You know, obviously it's all supply and demand. The price of either the native token of Ethereum network also soared past 3,300. So it's not just Bitcoin. It's the larger cryptos that are doing well. And some of the others, too, have been doing well. So what's the big deal about a Bitcoin ETF? Less than a year ago, 75% of Americans who heard of cryptocurrency said they weren't confident in its safety or reliability. But the price of the world's largest cryptocurrency began climbing again after a federal appeals court ruled that the SEC wrongfully rejected an application from Grayscale Investments to convert its Grayscale Bitcoin Trust into a spot Bitcoin ETF. It gave the okay to nearly dozens of other newly exchanged traded funds called spot Bitcoin ETFs. So that's what does Bitcoin. Here's the ultimate deal, right? In my opinion or view on it, or yours may be different today than it will be in a year or 5 years down the road. And that's because the world of finance is always changing. It's always being altered. But the question is, whether you understand Bitcoin or not, does it belong in your, of course, if you don't understand it, it doesn't belong in your portfolio to a certain point. Do you have to know everything about everything? No, because most people don't know everything about everything regarding the investments that they currently own, and those are traditional type mutual fund arrangements. So does Bitcoin deserve a spot in your portfolio? Bitcoin and other cryptos are speculative, which are assets that people put money into, hoping the price will rise rapidly. And it's like anything else. I have a few clients that have delved into crypto in the past, and call it being lucky, call it right time, right place. You know, a lot of people have made tons of money on the crypto surge from years ago. Is that going to repeat? I don't know. Here is my view on any of these special type asset classes. Is the track record there? Now, I'm not going to pull it up. I'm just going to go off my best guess. If I'm wrong, hit me up. Let me know. It depends on the timeline, right? But as a general rule, Bitcoin or crypto in general has not surpassed the return of the broader market. And certainly on a risk-adjusted basis, it has not surpassed the returns of the broader market. But that doesn't mean that it's not necessary, doesn't mean that it is necessary. If it's something that interests you, whether it's buying shares of a single stock, whether it's other speculative assets, here's the way you need to approach it. One, you need to have significant, and significant is subjective. You need to have a pretty good handle on being on track for your retirement goals. I mean, you don't need to be saying, well, let's just bet the farm on one asset class and hope it works out. If you're tracking along, you're saving the amount of money you need to save, maybe you're already financially independent. If you want to buy 1, 2, 5, 10%, no more than that, 10% of your total investments in speculative assets, not 10% in each. Don't put 10% in single stocks, 10% in Bitcoin, 10% in, you know, Dogecoin, whatever. Don't do that. Total. And if it helps and pays off and you kind of get lucky with the right time, right place, it could add some value to it. But if it does not work out in your favor, since you have such a minimal part of your total portfolio in speculative assets, it's not going to do any tremendous damage, right? But one of the things I think with speculative assets that comes into play, regular investors really like to go, you know, just tell me what I need to do, let me do it, and then I'll kind of just stick to that until you tell me to do something else. When you're dealing with something that involves speculation, I don't think you can approach it that way. I think you've got to be involved. You got to want to learn about it. You got to say, hey, this is what I think. I don't think you got to be a Bitcoin trader. I don't think you got to be that. But you got to follow it. You got to be interested in it. If you're going to buy, whether it's gold, silver, shares of Walmart, shares of Apple, or any cryptocurrency, and it's not some direct recommendation from someone, I'm not talking about podcasts or internet folks or even radio folks or what you see on the internet or TV, don't do that. You have to be interested in the asset class, interested in the investment, to stay up on your knowledge of whether it's still a good thing or a bad thing. Because any financial advisor, I just think any financial advisor is going to be highly hesitant to quote unquote recommend an asset this speculative, because they would be responsible for somewhat responsible if it doesn't work out. Now, Rick Edelman, he's making a comment in this article we're discussing today. If you don't know who Rick Edelman is, he has one of the largest investment advisory firms in the country, if it's not probably in the world. He's in stresses that Bitcoin is highly speculative with the history of volatility, but he believes its potential makes it appropriate for long-term investors. Do I concur? Maybe. But he also agrees with me And I didn't even know that he was going to actually agree with me, because it's the first time I'm actually putting my eyes on this statement. Provided that investors limit their exposure to 1 to 5%. So I'm going to wrap this up of whether crypto, you need to be investing in crypto if you're not going to be someone who is following it and very involved every day. I would say probably not. Keep it to those limits, great. But here's what I've learned in my 20-something plus years of doing this. When we start trying to get cute, we start trying to get creative, we start trying to get, add these other asset classes with the hopes that it's going to pay off, typically it doesn't. And what that means for you is it will drag down your performance. You know, commodities were very hot in the early 2000s. A lot of advisors, including myself, were putting a small percentage of clients' portfolios into commodity funds. And we weren't speculating. We're just saying, hey, this asset class has been paying off. Let's try it. Well, then it turned, right? And they've been terrible since. Same thing with real estate. Well, real estate's a great diversifier. We need to do it. Or interest rates are going to rise. Let's all go buy short-term bonds. All this stuff, you know, trying to figure out what's going to happen next, speculating, is really how you end up with performance less than what you should have. And that would be my perspective on why do we need it? If our required return to hit our retirement goals is, let's say, 8%, whatever it is, and we already have assets that have proven that we're going to hit that 8%, let's not mess with that. Certainly not mess with it in a sense where if we invest in something else that we don't get at least that 8%. And that's why the exposure to anything speculative needs to be kept down to a minimum. I hope that makes some sense. All right, we've got a lot of stuff to get to, a lot of things I want to talk about, and we're going to get to it all, I promise. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here on WGNS. I'm Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner. Back with you right after this. This is Financial Coaching Radio.
Well, get out of that bed, wash your face and hand. Get out of that bed, wash your face and hand. Well, get in that kitchen, make some lard with the pots and pan.
Hey, Financial Coaching Radio listeners. If you don't understand exactly how your financial advisor is compensated, you could be in big trouble. My name is Jason Qualls, a commission-free certified financial planner. To learn more about why my process is so unique, go to jasonquallscfp.com or call 878-2134 today. Okay, folks, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. If you were my client or a loved one, I would never let you get your wills done online. This is truly a case of where you only get what you pay for, and those you leave behind will be the ones to pay the price. Go see estate planning attorney John Baker today by calling 896-5621 or go to bakercounsel.com. Again, that's 896-5621 or bakercounsel.com. Get the expert estate planning advice you need today.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Did you know that the U.S. tax code has over 70,000 pages? This is precisely why you must have a tax expert on your team. The folks at TH&W CPAs have been providing their expertise to individuals and businesses in Middle Tennessee for over 50 years. And now they have an office right here in Murfreesboro. Call Kevin Sizemore today with TH&W CPAs at 848-1072. That's 848-1072 or online at thwcpa.com.
Welcome back to the show. Of course, this is Financial Coaching Radio. I'm Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner. Jason Qualls, CFP.com for all about me. This looks like it may not be from... Yeah, it's not even a U.S. article. I was going to talk a little bit about insurance premiums and the whole auto insurance premium thing. You know, I got rumor from a lot of agents that prices are going up. I wonder what... Have you experienced this? You know, I haven't per se... A little bit, but not as drastically as as I was once told they were going to be. You know, a lot of things affect, you know, insurance premiums, and that would be, you know, losses from the insurance company, interest rates, investing rates, all this stuff. And yeah, so that would be something that to keep watch on. But risk management is a vital part of financial planning. Having the right amount of life insurance, having the right amount of liability insurance, disability insurance if it's appropriate, auto insurance, home insurance, renter's insurance. We get a lot of people like to use it, we're insurance poor, health insurance. But there was just basic insurance that we need as a foundation of our financial plan. And if your current, if all your person is doing is advising on retirement and investments, you have an investment person. You don't have a financial planner, so keep that in mind. This is interesting from coming from CNBC. You can put a price tag on the value of a personal finance education. They're valuing it at $100,000. Many studies show that there's a strong connection between financial literacy and financial well-being. One recent report found a lifetime benefit of roughly $100,000 per student from taking one semester course in personal finance during high school. And I would say, I don't know if the dollar amount's correct, but when my first, and obviously I'm unique, right? And I'm biased because I'm in the industry. It totally changed the trajectory of my life and my career, of what I do for a living, meaning the first personal finance course that I had taken. And I took that in college. And I really wouldn't have had this direction. I was like, I had a discussion with someone that kind of tipped me on to learning about investing and financial planning. Took a financial planning course. And I was like, man, this is exactly my largest interest. I'm interested in doing this more than anything else. Went on to get a finance degree. Went on to get an MBA. Became a CFP. And other stuff. And no, here we are, 25 years later, maybe, something like that, almost. The lifetime benefit of roughly $100,000 per student from completing one semester in personal finance. It's from, who cares who is it from? It doesn't really matter whose it's from. And here's what they're teaching, right? And I've actually given speeches or talks and discussions at personal finance courses in high school. And it's like everything else, right? There are students that are just really clued in, that want to be there, that want to learn, and there's the ones that do not. And it's everything else is the same way. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. But if we're going to require, you know, world history or whatever, we need to be requiring personal finance courses in high school. Hell, we may even need to require some level of personal finance in middle school, for that matter. Because the lack of knowledge by the average person in America today about just how basic financial concepts work, it not only impacts their financial lives, it impacts their personal lives, right? Because if you don't have them, think about it this way. You know, most people at some point in their life are going to get into a relationship. You know, well, they're going to be married, but it's going to be a committed relationship. But marriage is probably part of it. You know, marriage and money, relationships and money, how to do that. And if you are one of the people in the relationship that does not have equal financial knowledge of their partner, that could create conflict. That could create a lot of things going on. Or even if you're not in a relationship and you're out there on your own, and you're just going to go kind of wing it, which is what most people in my generation before had done. They got to learn the hard way. Of course, we were told to do X, Y, and Z. And whether we listened or not to X, Y, or Z was probably a different story. But we were told, you know, all the basic stuff. You know, don't spend more than you make. Stay out of consumer debt. You know, save your money. Don't waste money on stuff. And we all, that's one of the biggest regrets we all have, right? We should have started investing and saving sooner. We'd have a lot more. That's life, though, right? We'll get to it later. If you're in your 20s, you'll say, I'll get to it when I'm in my 30s. If I'm in my 30s, I'm going to get to it when I'm in my 40s. A lot of people don't get around to it. So maybe having that information available makes you a little more motivated to take action in your 20s. And I've been hearing a lot of things on social media that I think that's really true. Now, I don't think you got to delay everything in your financial life at all. If you want to jump in, by the way, hit me up, financialcoachingradio.com, click email the show. Just having that information, exposure to it. What is a bank account? How do bank accounts work? What are money markets? How does insurance work? How do credit cards work? How does a mortgage work? How does a mutual fund work? How does a retirement account work? What about wills and powers of attorney? Just that basic information, so you're not having to go, what in the hell do I do? And you just miss a bunch of stuff. That's where I think it's crucial. So I do not know for a fact if it's required in the state of Tennessee. I know a lot of our schools locally, and we live in we're blessed, right? Middle Tennessee is truly blessed. We're not immune to everything that happens in the country, but a lot of counties and cities in Middle Tennessee really have done a great job of putting us in a great position to be very productive, very, very benefiting from the growth of the national economy and staying away from some of the bad stuff. So if your child is in high school, strongly encourage them to take a personal finance course. And if you're one of those people who has not had a personal finance course, and this goes for everybody whether you had it or not, you can learn these things if you hire the right people. And the right people starts with your financial quarterback being an independent, fee-only certified financial planner, not a salesperson. Most advisors today are salesperson, and nothing wrong with that, but salespeople may not be having your best interest at heart. So once you come back from this break, we're going to talk about people who are happy with their personal finances. What did they do? Because money is such a vital part of our life, right? It's not the end-all be-all, but money is involved in almost everything that we do. And whether we make a lot of it or we don't, it weighs on our mental health. It weighs on our just overall happiness. And I think if we just do some basic things, we all could be happy with money. We'll get into that and more right after this short break. This is WGNS. I am Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner, and this is Financial Coaching Radio. Back with you right after this.
Do you have a financial plan? I'm not talking about a worthless binder full of pretty charts and graphs. Are you certain you're on track to reach all your financial goals? A comprehensive financial plan is about so much more than just your IRA and mutual funds. It involves risk management, tax planning, professional investment management, retirement, and estate planning. Make sure your entire financial life is in order by calling me, Jason Qualls, a commission-free certified financial planner at 878-2134, or go to my website, jasonquallscfp.com. Buying a house is stressful, and so is shopping for a mortgage. Take my advice and get a second opinion on the mortgage for your new home or your refinance. Not all banks and mortgage companies are created equal. Trust me on this. Call my friend Marshall Sparkman with Franklin Synergy Bank at 615-439-0885. Great team, great process, and the best rates. Marshall Sparkman with Franklin Synergy Bank at 615-439-0885.
I broke 1,000 hearts before I met you. I'll break 1,000 more, baby, before I am through. I want to be yours, pretty baby.
Welcome back to The One Show, giving you the truth about personal finance. This is Financial Coaching Radio. No books to sell. Not pushing any live event tickets. We don't do any of that on this show. We'll leave that to the other guys with the hidden agenda. We're just here to help you make better money moves, talking about real life topics that affect us. No one size fits all help here. If you want to jump in, click email the show. Questions, comments, disagreements, email the show at financialcoachingradio.com. Can you guess how much the average retirement account balance is? No, I cannot. American households face an average annual spending of about $6,000 a month. What's the average retirement account? Blah, 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 blah. Median savings stands at $87,000. NerdWallet found that 60% of Americans do not have a retirement-specific account. Anyway. Now, we all know, as a country as a whole, there's a large percentage. The average American has $65,000 in their savings account. That's crazy, right? But we know that's the disparity of America, right? There's a lot of people who have significant assets, and there's a lot of people who don't have any. The stats have probably changed slightly over the years, but 50% of Americans don't pay any. They don't make enough money to pay any federal income tax, and we can't blame them for not paying federal income tax, because the politicians is the one that made the tax code and says, well, these people don't pay federal income tax. And the credits make it so where they actually get paid to be an American citizen. We could debate that all day long of whether that's fair, quote unquote. But that's the reality, With the top 5% of income earners pay such a large percentage of America's federal income taxes. And get down to those numbers, it's just wild and bizarre, right? Very wild and bizarre. Let's see here. Yeah, well, as promised, people who are happy with their personal finances make these three decisions. They make more money. Money's the root of all evil, right? So you want to be happier with your personal finance life, go make more money. Being able to make more money, support yourself and loved ones can make a big difference. Among people who are happy with their financial situations, 58% had earned enough money to support themselves. Well, duh. Among people who are unhappy with their finances, only 20% said they had earned enough during the money past year. The happiness gap of 38% was the biggest difference between financially happy. This is where the financial articles just irritate me. Like, what is the happiness gap, right? You got to do what makes you happy, but you have to have the ability to meet your daily living expenses, at least on the baseline level. Now, that doesn't count people who, as they make more, spend more, and always going from basically paycheck to paycheck, whether they make $100,000 or $1 million. I think this is a big one. Having a cash reserve, having a safety net, having a cushion, whether it's the appropriate exact amount for you, I think is very subjective. But I think this is going, you know what, if I blow out a tire, air conditioner goes out, roof leaks, car blows up, kid gets in trouble, whatever the situation, that you have some cash to be able to handle that situation. We're not always just in a state of worry. Having good credit is the number three thing that people say that keeps them financially happy. And I would say, yeah, because you're sitting there and you're like, oh, something does happen. And then we're going to make this a debt discussion, because the opinion on debt, depending on the type of debt we're talking about, we can make a case for why some debt is good and why some debt is bad. Now, there's certain debts that are just bad no matter what the scenario. But we can make a case that some debt is useful. Let's say that. I think good and bad is the wrong terminology. Useful. Can you use it to make yourself more money? Does it create more risk? Absolutely. But being able to even decide if that's an option for your life, no debt or good debt or useful debt, is we'll start a new phrase. No more good debt, bad debt. We're going to say bad debt and useful debt. You got to have good credit, right? The worse your credit score, the worse your interest rate is going to be. I haven't had this conversation with anyone in the mortgage business in quite some time, but if the regular person with great credit is paying 7, 7.5, 8% for a 30-year mortgage today, what are the people paying that have less than stellar credit? And that worries me, because now, that just translates into everything, right? It can be less cars being sold because of interest rates being high, less cars being leased, less homes being bought, less homes being constructed, and all that's going to trickle down at some point to other industries, and that's scary for the economy, in my view. Are we slowly trying to figure a way through this thing? Yes, we are. Am I predicting doom and gloom? No, I am not, because doom and gloom is always very short in the investing world, 1 to 3 years or less, and everything starts to recover. But anyway, make sure you get a second opinion on your investments and your financial life from an independent, fee-only certified financial planner. If you want to learn more about what I do, go to JasonQualls.cfp.com. After this short break, I'll be back to close out the show. Make sure you keep it locked in right here on WGNS.
How much are your investments costing you each year? Most people don't have a clue. Why is this extremely important? Because overpaying by just 1% a year in fees and expenses can reduce your account balance at retirement by 28%. You heard me right. 28% less at retirement. I'm commission-free, certified financial planner Jason Qualls. I don't sell financial products. I don't accept commissions or kickbacks from investment companies. Give me a call today for a free unbiased investment review at 878-2134 or visit my website, jasonquallscfp.com. A recent undercover study found that over 89% of paid tax preparers made mistakes. You heard me right, over 89%. Is your tax person making mistakes? Tax mistakes cost you money and may even lead to an IRS audit. I recommend you get a second opinion on your tax return today by calling Tetherow Helen Welch CPAs at 848-1072. Tetherow Helen Welch has been providing tax services to individuals and businesses for over 50 years. So call them today at 848-1072 or go to thwcpa.com.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Listen to the show anytime, anywhere at FinancialCoachingRadio.com. Click Archives. Get a long list of all the past shows. The most recent shows are, in fact, the most recent shows. But there's some older shows on there, too. I still think the links are actually available. And if you're a podcaster, if you want to call yourself that, if you listen to a lot of podcasts, my show is not really a podcast because it's a real show. But if you're looking to listen anytime and you're like, hey, I want to learn more about this. You know, it could be dated material as far as, you know, what we're talking about as far as the relevant current topics. But the basics of the financial principles, whether it be estate planning or tax planning, investment planning is probably going to be more current and relevant than anything else you can probably digest. And you can get all that at financialcoachingradio.com. Click Archives. I'm going to check out of here for today. If you find yourself with a financial question you just can't find the right answer to, don't hesitate. You want to hear my point of view on what you got going on? Happy to help any of my listeners. Go to JasonQualls.cfp.com. Follow me on social media. Send me a message on social media. Send me an email, and we'll figure out the best way to help you, because the worst thing you can do is get involved in a situation on the finance side that you're going to regret. And that's why you make sure you get the right advice on the front end. All right, I'm out here for today. I appreciate you listening. I'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same channel. Keep it locked in right here on WGNS.